Coming up on today's show.
It's a state school, great resources, beautiful campus, 15,000 students. So on the outside, everything looks great, and I love my time there. However, within like a month, I was like, what have I done? I missed the aspect of incorporating the faith into your program freely.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website, as I hope you know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. In the lead up to yesterday's game, there was a poll that went up in the Facebook group last Thursday night asking who everyone thought was going to win the Super Bowl. Join us in there. Some fun and some exclusive content in that Facebook group. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. It's fun to bring up real-life, present-day sports stories in the ministry moment each week, but the fact of the matter is, regardless of the example, what athlete, what coach, what sport I might cite, we are all looking for help. We're all looking for guidance. We all have a burden that we're carrying that we're hoping that the Lord will help us bear. And that does go for athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks. And as much as I'm quite vocal about stepping out in what I have referred to as holy boldness, it's natural to feel hesitant about openly sharing your faith, especially in a team environment, in a locker room, in a sports context. Rest assured, however, that your evangelizing for the kingdom will be seen and the Lord's hand will be upon you. We know this because in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, chapter 5 tells us in verse 12, quote, "Then all who trust in you will be glad and forever shout for joy. You will protect them, and those will rejoice in you who love your name," end quote. Or to read it from the Living Bible, quote, "You bless the godly man, O Lord. You protect him with your shield of love." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the head men's basketball coach at Ave Maria University. He is in his 15th season as a head coach, having previously held positions at Aledo High School, the University of Texas at Tyler, a previous stint at Ave Maria, Texas State University, Trinity Valley Community College, and Keller Central High School. He led Ave Maria to the conference tournament championship game in 2021, and his 2023-24 team earned an at-large bid to the NAIA tournament and won the program's first-ever national tournament game. He is also a certified strength and conditioning specialist and a CrossFit Level 1 trainer. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jamin Copeland.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. I'm excited about it.
Likewise. Thank you, Jamin. With all due respect, with all those coaching stops that you have made, I'm not even going to venture a guess. Go ahead and start us off by sharing where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Yeah, so born in Lytton, Oklahoma, but the only reason I was born in Lytton, Oklahoma, I grew up in Walters, Oklahoma, which is a small town of 2,000 people, so they didn't have a hospital. Mom and dad, and then me and my brother. I'm the oldest, so there was two siblings.
Okay. Unlike the first question, I do know that you are a cradle Catholic. Tell us about the faith life in the Copeland household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education that you might have received.
Yeah, so my mother did an incredible job with us. Southwestern Oklahoma is definitely mission territory for the Catholic faith. We went to a small parish, St. Patrick's, that probably had, and I might be exaggerating here, probably 15 families. It had a traveling priest where, the priest had three or four different parishes every Sunday, all in different small farming communities in Oklahoma.
Wow.
And my dad at the time was Baptist. He was Southern Baptist and was very supportive of the faith, went to Mass every Sunday with the family, even though he wasn't Catholic and didn't receive. But my mom was kind of she was the backbone of the family spiritually. And, we were in Mass every Sunday, got a religious education. And yeah, she just did an incredible job. My dad ended up converting to the Catholic faith. And then, yeah, my brother and I both have five children and are in love with our faith. And my parents are still strong. So I credit the majority of it to my mom, just, making sure we received all our sacraments and got our Catholic education. And then my father also, just for his support and openness with the faith.
I'm curious though, two times you said our Catholic education, but if you went to a parish that was so small that there might have been 15 families, I cannot imagine that there was a Catholic school there.
It was not a Catholic school. I went to public school my entire life until college. It was crazy. So I started off college at Midwestern State University and then finished, transferred out my junior year. And then my junior and senior year, I finished at Franciscan University in Steubenville. It's a Newman Guide school. And that was actually the first time I had ever had a Catholic education that wasn't run through the parish, religious ed. That St. Patrick's Parish, the small parish, did a great job. In middle school, my dad got a new job, so we moved to Coppell, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, right near the DFW airport, and we're a part of an incredible parish there, St. Anne's, and they had great faith formation as well, great youth group. So
Okay.
very fortunate with the two parishes, even though I was a public school kid, really poured into their parishioners' faith and especially the youth's faith.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I'm going to try a different approach here. One too many times I've had a guest on who has quite a lengthy resume in one sport, and I assume that that was likely the first and only sport that they played in their younger years, only to end up being wrong. So, Jamin, how about for you? When and how did you first start into playing sports, and which sports, plural, did you play when you were growing up?
Yeah, great question. So, like most coaches, most athletes, I think it was just a passion God gave me from a child. My parents tell me stories, my first word was ball. I loved every sport growing up and played every sport. Being in a small town in Oklahoma, baseball was the most readily available. So, that was the first organized sport I played, but played organized baseball, football, basketball, cross country,
Wow.
track. I was on the swim team.
Wow.
I kind of did it all other than soccer, and my kids love soccer, and I joke with them all the time, like, man, I would have loved to do it, but in, Royal Oklahoma, there was no such thing as soccer league. That was like a foreign word.
But I'm curious, given what you just described, what transpired at some point that clearly basketball became your sport?
When we moved to Dallas, to Coppell, the suburb of Dallas and the DFW Metroplex, I think what makes basketball unique is you can work on your game by yourself. You don't need other people to play it. You just need a ball and yourself, and you can improve and get better. And I just fell in love with just trying to tap out my potential and just training on my own and working on my own. And then obviously the game is a blast too. It's a fast-paced game. It's there's not much start and stop play, free flowing. You get to touch it pretty much every possession. So it's not like, if I'm a lineman in football and I never get to touch the ball, you're getting to touch it every possession, and the ability to work on your own. That all made it very attractive.
Yeah, I like that point because someone could correct you and try to say, well, and a hoop. Not necessarily, because if you just work on ball handling and you say, well, the hoop, there's one that's about a mile from here. I don't need to go there today. I can still pick up the ball and go out back and work on my ball handling. So good points there. You are a graduate of Franciscan University. You mentioned the transfer. Was the transfer, was that kind of prompted because of Catholic faith? And by the way, at the time that you were in college, were you thinking about a post-college career in some sort of athletic capacity?
I was. You know, I had a great high school coach at Capel High School, Brad Chastain. And one thing he told me when I was in high school, he said, hey, you know, as soon as you're done with college, I want to hire you. He got that bug in my ear, you know. I was a really hard worker and really dedicated to my craft. And he just said, I'd love to hire you back as soon as you graduate. Mm. So like every athlete, right, I wanted to be a professional athlete, and that was my dream and my goal. But pretty soon I realized, like, man, I'm probably not going to get there and achieve my professional dreams, and I want to stay involved somehow, some way in athletics. And coaching is not as good as playing, no doubt, but it's the second best thing.
But Franciscan, was that purely for Catholic reasons? Was it a chance to play basketball there? What caused this transfer?
The Catholic reasons was the reason I wanted to go. I had never received a Catholic education. My youth minister at St. Anne's, Kurt Clement, his wife, Jenny Clement, had graduated from Franciscan University and just always spoke really highly of it. And then there was a really generous donor that was able to give me a substantial scholarship to Franciscan to be able to attend. It was a private school. I couldn't afford it. And so I just kind of felt like that was God's will at the time. You know, it kind of came out of nowhere. Just had a knee injury, just had knee surgery, and wasn't sure how that was going to go. Got the huge scholarship, and it just kind of all fell into my laps. I kind of just thought it was divine providence and took a chance and loved my time there.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Your first coaching job was as an assistant at Keller Central High School. Tell us about entering the coaching ranks for the first time and how prayerful you were as you started into what I'm sure you hoped to be the start of a long career.
Yeah, so it was a cool deal. It was my senior year at Franciscan. I was actually on a retreat at the time. And I was just, you know, as a senior in college, you don't have a job. It's kind of a weird time. You know, you're graduating, you're excited about that. Your college friends, you love it. But at the same time, you know, like, hey, this is coming to an end. We're all going to leave each other. And as of right now, I don't have a job. I don't really know what's coming, what the future holds. And that entire retreat, I just remember praying, you know, just, Lord, your will be done. Wherever you want to send me, I'll do it. Your will be done. I talked a lot about my high school coach before offering me that job, and he did. He offered me a job to coach the freshman team, but one of his assistants had gotten the head job at Keller Central. His name was Kip Pell, and he called me at the retreat, actually. And while I was on the retreat, he called me on my cell phone. It was the first year for cell phones. It was 2004, first time I got a cell phone. And he called me, and it was at one of the breaks, and he's like, hey, Jamin, I just got this job, and I want you to be my top assistant. Would you take it? And it was another God thing, right? Wow. Like, I had just been praying and praying, and the Holy Spirit, you know, had just been tugging at my heart, like, hey, just be open to God's will. And got that call from Kid, and I accepted it on the spot.
We've all heard, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will raise you up. I can picture you being excited about taking that, but also going in very nervous, maybe kind of, your posture, you know, you're hunched over and you have to kind of look up at him and say, thanks for hiring me, but I'm new at this. So just talk about that, humbling yourself. This is what you dreamed of. This is what you wanted to do. This was your sport, but yet you have to kind of go, can you give me some guidance? Because I've never coached before.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the hardest parts, the job in Texas when you coach high school sports, high school football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter. You have to teach as well. So I think for me, the thing that caused me more anxiety was the teaching aspect. The basketball, obviously, you're new to a profession, but that came more naturally to me because that's all I had known and studied and was passionate about. It was the teaching world history was the one that gave me a lot of anxiety. So that was definitely where I was taking that to prayer all the time and really trying to study and just serve the kids as best I could. I didn't want to only be a coach. I wanted to try to be the best teacher I could be as well. And that was definitely not a strength of mine, was teaching world history. So that was by far the bigger struggle of the two.
For those who like trivia, here's an interesting fact. Jamin has the distinction of having been the first head coach in the history of the Ave Maria University men's basketball program. I have a question for him about that with a Catholic twist. But first, I want to thank everyone who sent congratulatory wishes a week ago when Catholic Sports Radio hit its six-year anniversary on February 1st, specifically. It was really nice to read the comments and the social media DMs and the like. Thank you for taking time out to do that. It really means a lot. This role can get kind of lonely at times, obviously off the air. Although I could argue that since it's not a live show with call-ins, you do still start to wonder if anyone is listening and if anyone cares. So I do appreciate the outreach. Comments like what were sent to me for that occasion also help reinforce for me that, yes, there is an appetite for a ministry like mine that mixes faith and sports. It reinforces the sense of community as we journey together on our walk with Christ, hoping to realize the ultimate victory and spend eternity in heaven. Let's bring our brothers and sisters in Christ along with us. A lot of people are broken. A lot of people feel alone. A lot of people are looking for hope. And others are looking for something to reinvigorate them faith-wise, whether they know it or not. Please tell other people about Catholic Sports Radio. I'm doing this voluntarily. It's neither my full nor my part-time job, meaning I'm giving back with my time and talent. And yikes, not getting any income from doing this show, which, yes, doesn't make it tough when it comes to all the bills that I mentioned that come in for operating this show on and off the air. But knowing that people are being moved closer to Christ is the goal here, not getting rich. Presumably, you do see value, though, in this. You do like the show. You support the work that I'm doing. As a result, I would ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to help me with those ongoing costs. Whether you still want to make a nod to the show having hit its six-year anniversary on the 1st and send a financial gift with a 6 in it, $16, $60, $66, $106. The fact of the matter is, regardless of the amount, the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you have heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Jamin, let's fast forward to 2009 and your first stint at Ave Maria University. You were actually given the responsibility of starting the men's basketball program. Did it make it any easier, given that it's a Catholic school, or is it, that sounds nice, Bruce, but it's still a business. They still want a successful winning program that's going to help recruit more kids to come here.
Yeah, so definitely did not make it any easier. I remember vividly about 2 weeks into taking the job, I was like, what have I done? I was at, prior to that, getting the job here at Ave Maria for the first time, I was an assistant at Texas State University. It's a Division I school in Texas and San Marcos. And then I'd always had my eye on Ave Maria. I'd heard the story of Tom Monahan and how he founded the university and knew it was in Southwest Florida, passionately Catholic university. And I was always like, man, if they ever start athletics, I would love to be the basketball coach there. So technically, yes, I started the program. However, I wasn't the first coach. They hired a coach to start the program, and then he was not a good fit. Like, thought he was somebody he wasn't. So they made a change very, very quick. So I got the job actually in December. So when we got out here, it was middle of the season. They hadn't had a coach in a while. They'd had kind of an interim coach. So the majority of the roster when I got here was academically ineligible, had not achieved the requisite GPA to maintain eligibility. They had no supervision. The school here is really tough. So I get here, I've got like three eligible players. You know, NAIA is a great level, but the resources, the support you have coming from Division I is entirely different. So it was not easy, to say the least. I love this place, and I hope to coach here until I die and love this level, but it was a rocky and rough start, that's for sure.
Well, to the extent that you're comfortable discussing it, tell us about your departure from Ave Maria after 4 years leading the program, and then also coming back a few years ago, and maybe any spiritual reflection on your own personal growth and development over your time away from Ave Maria.
Yeah, great question. So was here, and like I talked about the start, how tough it was. I was literally walking through the dorms asking anybody, hey, do you want to play for this semester? We only had three eligible players. It took it from that. When I left 4 years later, we were top 25 in the country, won 23 games, had a great year. But at that point in my marriage with my wife, she was pregnant with our third child at the time with Asher. And we had, my family was living in Dallas, her family was living in Oklahoma City, and we really wanted to get closer to family to have support just with our kids. We had kind
I
of been
see.
on our own on an island the whole time. So I was fortunate enough to get the University of Texas at Tyler job in East Texas. And if you're familiar with bishops, Bishop Strickland at the time was the bishop of Tyler, Texas, and he was a phenomenal, dynamic bishop. So we were fortunate. We go from one incredible Catholic community at Ave Maria University, and then we go to the Diocese of Tyler, live in Tyler. We were there 6 years, and man, we were around some incredible priests, some incredible families with an incredible bishop. And yeah, just the faith definitely grew my time away. And I don't have a crazy conversion story. I've just grown a little bit deeper into my faith every year. The more you learn, the more you instill those daily habits in your spiritual life that kind of keep you on track. And yeah, just had some great role models and mentors and friendships that helped me grow spiritually. And it was great. But the one thing, Bruce, when I did leave, and University of Texas at Tyler, it's a state school, great resources, beautiful campus, 15,000 students. So on the outside, everything looks great, and I love my time there. However, within like a month, I was like, what have I done? I missed the aspect of incorporating the faith into your program freely. I had a great AD at UT Tyler. We would pray and do things, and he would never give you a hard time, but it's just not immersed in the culture like it is when you're at a Catholic university like the Ave Maria. So I knew, like, man, you know what? I miss that. If that job opens again, I'm going to go after it again. And at that time, Jess was older, I was older, we were more mature in our parenting, didn't really feel like we needed the help from the grandparents as much. And when it opened again in 2020, I applied for it, and Coach Patterson was the athletic director and was fortunate enough to give me a chance. And we've been back since 2020, and we just absolutely love it. We're ecstatic we're back, and we love it.
And audience, for those of you that are not familiar, you heard Jamin make the reference. He's talking specifically about Bishop Joseph Strickland. He's the Bishop Emeritus of Tyler, Texas. Very outspoken, very much, dare I say, a leader in the pro-life movement. So if you want to look him up, that's who that is. Jamin, describe for us the atmosphere around the Ave Maria men's basketball program. How present is the Catholic faith in your practices, your team meetings, your road trips, your games, and so on?
Like I tell recruits all the time, like it is immersed in our culture and it is our culture. It's all in the same. Like we start every practice with, you have a thought for the day, right? Like typically it'll be a quote or a thought for practice for the day. And then right after that, every day, we have the saint of the day and we talk about the saint of the day, whoever saint's feast day it is. Like today is the feast of Saint Blaise. So we're going to talk about Saint Blaise. And then we'll start with our prayer. And then post practice, we're going to close with a prayer. We do a team retreat. We go to daily mass together. On the road, we go to mass together. We say rosaries on road trips. It's incredible. It's in every fiber of our program, the Catholic faith is. And like I tell recruits, you don't have to be Catholic, but it is who we are. And we're not going to be ashamed of it. And we're going to do these things. And we've had some great conversion stories through the program. And then, yeah, we just have some incredible young men that are just trying to be the best people they can be. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Am I perfect? Far from it. But man, we're trying. And when we fall, we know where to go. Go to confession and ask God's mercy.
I love everything you just said, especially the part about road trips, because that's a real easy place for someone to say, well, we can't go to mass or we're on the road and we have a game and we got to figure out transportation and getting back and everything. So hats off to you for making sure that that's still a priority. I never forget, as long ago as it was, 6 years ago, the fourth ever episode of this show was Mike Candrea, who had coached the Team USA women's softball team to the Olympic gold medal in Athens in 2004 and long coaching career collegiately at Arizona, and said on this show, what kind of message are we sending to our student athletes when out of one side of our mouth we're telling them that you need to go to church on Sunday, and out of the other side of our mouth we're scheduling games to go play in tournaments on a Sunday morning? So I love that you're making it a priority that we're on the road, doesn't matter. We're going to Mass.
Absolutely.
In the lead up to today, you indicated how passionate you are for athletics, for fitness, and for your Catholic faith. On the last of those, share with the audience about two consecrations that you have done.
Yes, I've done the consecration to Mary and the consecration to St. Joseph. The St. Joseph one was by Father Gately. It's his book, The Consecration of St. Joseph. And then the Mary, I'm probably going to butcher his name, but it's St. Louis de Montfort, I think.
Yep.
That's the consecration of Mary. I did both of those. And, you know, I've actually done the consecration of Mary multiple times and done the consecration of St. Joseph once, and then but reference that a ton just in some of my spiritual readings. Those were phenomenal. If you haven't done them, I'd highly encourage you to look into those.
Nice, nice. I said that you indicated that you're passionate about athletics, fitness, and your Catholic faith, but I intentionally left off your passion for your family so we could save the best for last. You mentioned her a couple times, but share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the family that the two of you have made, not to mention how in the world, as a result, you're able to give as much time to Ave Maria men's basketball as that position demands, given your family size.
Yeah. So Jess and I, we've been married for 16 years.
Mm.
I actually proposed to her in adoration.
Wow.
As we were dating, we had a 2 a.m. holy hour, 2 to 3 in the morning.
Mm.
And there was an old lady that was always in there with us. And the week before, I just tapped her. I think it was every Wednesday morning at 2 to 3 a.m. But I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, next week, do you mind not coming?" And she kind of looked at me like, "Like, what are you talking about?" I said, "I'm going to propose to my girlfriend." And she's like, "Oh, I won't show up next week." But yeah, so proposed in adoration. And I just wanted to make Jesus and Our Lady, you know, just the center of our marriage. And so we've been married 16 years, and it's been phenomenal. And then we have 5 children. We have an 8th grader, a 7th grader, a 5th grader, a 1st grader, and all 4 of those are all boys. And then our littlest at home, our 5th child, she's 4, and she's our only daughter. And so she's, that's been awesome, just seeing the differences in raising boys and girls. So 5 children, I tell everybody, man, being a parent is one of the hardest things you'll ever do, but like anything in life, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. You know, like anything good in life, it's going to be tough and it's going to be exhausting and take a lot of work, but there's nothing like it. I love being a father and a husband.
Your children are a little bit on the younger side, but are you starting to see some interest in sports from any of them?
They are, yeah. They're all passionate about it. My oldest two, my 8th grader and 7th grader in Florida, so they go to Donahue Academy. It's a private Catholic school, K-12, you can actually play varsity sports. So high school varsity sports, if you're good enough as a middle schooler. So my 8th and 7th grader are actually on the varsity basketball team. Then they're on the middle school soccer, middle school track, middle school cross country,
wow,
all the other sports. And then my other boys are on the rec leagues in grade school. And then MJ is, she's not old enough yet to play sports. So yeah, they're very into it. And how do you balance it? I don't think you do balance it. I think you make your family a part of your work and your work a part of your family. So, for example, like my family, there's not many days in the week where one of my kids is not in the gym during practice or in the film room during film or the weight room during film, or my wife's not there, or the guys aren't over at the house, you know, having dinner or getting at my son. One of his side jobs is cutting hair, not getting a haircut from Blaze, or seeing Jess about, you know, getting some sort of medication if they've got something going on, or just grabbing coffee with us, something like that. So yeah, we just make our family a part of the program and our program a part of our family. You intertwine the two, because otherwise, you know, one of the two is always going to suffer. You know, if you don't mix them, if they're separate, I just don't think you can live your vocation as a husband and father correctly. You know, you're going to cheat that. And then on the same side, you could also cheat your secondary vocation, your job as a coach, you know, if you're never mixing the two.
Well, you're a man after my own Catholic heart. I proposed to my wife on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
That's incredible.
And your story is right up there. I can just picture that woman saying, "Well, could I just come late?" And then she walks in and announces, "Have you proposed to her yet? Is it okay for me to come in?" You ruined it. Thanks.
Yep.
Great story. Great story. Jamin, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for somehow making time in your schedule to talk to me today. God bless you and your family.
All right, Bruce. God bless.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, it's very fitting, of course, that we close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Chronicles 17, so Nathan told David, "Do all that is on your heart, for God is with you." Father, help me coach my players in a way that develops confidence and enables them to compete at their best. Help me encourage them to do all that is in their hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.